as Bellevue Christian Church, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim Him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God, and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people. Please stand if you are able for our call to worship. Taken from Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Let us worship God.
Those that are on each of our hearts today, we pray.
thank you. You've invited us to come directly to you. You even taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy righteous is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of communion is number 207, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Thank you.
Jesus told us to remember him. But he also said something that I think is so meaningful for us to hold on to as we partake. And you all that have joined us, you realize that we partake weekly. And that's because we see the biblical example of it when they met together on the first day of the week to break bread. But there's something else Jesus said: as often as we partake of this bread and drink of this cup, we do show forth his death on God. We do show forth until he comes. So let us partake together as we remember him, partaking of the bread, remembering his bodily sacrifice. And the cup as we remember his blood shed for our sins, to wash our sins. Thanks be to Christ.
Thanks be to the bread and wine of life, and the cup of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we've received. Now we have the opportunity to give back for your purposes. Use these gifts. Use each of us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our hymn of worship is number 263, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John 13, 31 through 38. If you'd like to turn to the Pew Bible, to John 13, 31 through 38. And I'm reading from the NIV Bible this morning. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless the reading and hearing of it. Thanks be to God.
There's only one entity that loves to tell bad news. And of course, it's the news media. They love to tell bad news. They don't want to get on there and tell the good news because what? People want the bad news. And sometimes it just becomes sensationalized, but it's all about a story, and they want to tell bad news. Now, I don't like to tell bad news, and most of us don't like to tell the bad news. I've had many opportunities or many times that I've had to deliver bad news. When I worked as a prison chaplain, about 1,000 to 1,300 inmates, depending on the time period, and I was the only chaplain. And any time they had a death in the family, any time, whether it was mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, the captains would never go tell them. They would ask me to go tell them, to give them the bad news. And I'd get them to come to my office, let them make a phone call, and I was there about a month. I may have told you this, but I was there about a month, and there was an inmate that died. First time that the inmate had died that I was notified. Went to the warden's office. I said, "What I need to do?" He said, "Go to medical observation, ask who the patient or the inmate was, call family." So I go, and I remember her name, Tammy King. So I go look up on the roster, Tammy King, and I call the family. They're like, "What? We didn't even know she was sick." And they're frantic. And the Lord was just kind of speaking to my heart over the next few minutes that something's just not feeling right. So then I went back to the medical observation, and I said, "What was her name again?" Said, "Tammy King." "Oh, wait a minute, that was an AKA name. Her name is..." And they gave me the wrong name. I called the wrong people. So I went back quickly, called them. I said, "I'm so sorry, and I'm apologizing for that. I thought, I've been here 1 month, and I'm going to get fired. It's going to be over." And I went to the warden and the assistant wardens and told them what had happened. And they go, "Huh, well, I think we're going to just start calling you Dr. Death." And they just laughed about it. And, you know, I thought, well, okay. But They weren't laughing about the fact that a person had died, but that I had stepped in as like that and made that mistake. And I guess what they were telling me is that, hey, we all make mistakes. But over the course of time, I had delivered a lot of bad news. Then when I worked at St. Thomas, you know, a lot of times at St. Thomas, the doctors didn't want to give the bad news. And sometimes the chaplains would be called to help with the bad news. Now, Jesus is going to be delivering some news here. And some would look at it as, this is bad news. And yet, he says, when he's getting ready to present some news that they didn't want to hear. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Class, what is the key word we see right here?
Glorify.
Five times we see the word glorify. But what is about to take place, it doesn't seem to associate with what we would think of that word glorify. I mean, he's going to die. He's going to die a criminal's death. He's going to die on the cross. And he says, God will be glorified. He will be glorified. So Jesus is delivering news that the disciples wouldn't want to hear. And he knows this, so he talks to them very compassionately. And he uses a term that seems kind of interesting to us when he calls them children or little children, as in the New King James. There's a lot of different variations of that, but it was a very endearing, intimate term. And certainly we are children of God, and there are many scriptures that refer to this. But some would ask, why did Jesus refer to them, him being a grown man, and them being grown men, why did he refer to them as children? And I think all it is simply is that it was just a very intimate way, compassionate way for him to tell them what was going to happen. And he says, I shall be with you a little while longer. In other words, not much longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now, I say to you. So he's trying to communicate to them, his hour has come. And he's trying to help them understand what was about to happen. So it was news that they didn't want to hear. And we get that a lot of times, news that we don't want to hear. And it sounded like bad news to them, but this had to take place in order for the good news. See, if Jesus hadn't died, if Jesus hadn't been buried, if Jesus hadn't risen from the grave, there would be no good news. What do we call the gospel? It is good news. It's good news because of what was going to happen, and God would indeed be glorified. But then we see that he gives a not so easy commandment. This is not an easy commandment. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Now, first of all, it's not always easy to love others. Oh, it's easy to love people who love you back, right? But it's hard to love people who are unlovable. Sometimes we run into those situations where, you know, we can just find ourselves just filled with some bitterness. You know, I remember when I was pastoring a church back in 84 to about 86, a guy that was like my best friend coming in was trying to hurry me out the door 2 years later. And his beef was that we were in Rushville, Indiana, and it was a kind of depressed area, no growth in the community. And he wanted us to become like Southeast Christian Church in Louisville that was booming at the seams. And we were just kind of hanging on, you know, about 200 people. And he wanted it to be 250 by such and such time. So he come to me, and he had a petition with a bunch of names on it that these people wanted me to leave. Well, I was devastated. And so I started going to talk to some of these people, and they said, first of all, we didn't sign anything, and we didn't say that. And so when I confronted the guy, he didn't have anything to say. Well, it was just such a toxic environment that finally I just held up my hands. I said, I'm out of here. And I quit. First time I ever quit and didn't have another job. And that was a real hard time. But what was harder was when I went back to the church for a homecoming, and I was in town, and I just felt compelled to go back. And I saw that man. I was on one side of the building, he was on the other, and I thought, the Lord convicted me, I need to go talk to him. So I cut across the pews as he's trying to head for the back door, and I cut him off, and he put his hand up, said, I was just coming to see you. And what I was really thinking is, you lying rat. But, you know, I put my hand out. I said, I just wanted to come and say hey. Now, probably my motivation was more like that verse where Jesus says it's kind of like putting coals over their head. Maybe that was part of it. But it is really hard to extend your hand when somebody betrays you. Jesus would know this. Jesus actually showed love, I believe, to Judas by letting him still hang out with him. Maybe he wanted Judas to know that even when he did this, he could repent. So it's not easy, always easy to love. But what makes this a new commandment? I mean, we read in other verses where he says to love one another. We read in the Old Testament where it talks about loving one another. Verses like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Verses like, shine your light before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, all these kind of things that would illustrate love. Here's the difference. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. There's the difference. See, we can love one another as we have loved before, and he's saying, I want you to go deeper. Love one another as I have loved you. And certainly he illustrated some things about his love. I mean, in this same dissertation, he shows them an example of a leader becoming a servant. You know, if anybody wants to be a leader, they got to be a servant. Can't do it unless you're willing to be a servant. So he showed that. He modeled that. But the greatest model was when he gave his life for others. So
He says, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Churches are made up of people. You know, churches would really be good if it wasn't for people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and actually, that's all of us. I mean, we're just human. Sometimes we say the wrong thing. Sometimes we let our emotions get into it. Sometimes we, you know, have conflict. And we've all experienced it. This church has experienced it. I told you I've experienced it. You know, all God's people experience it. The reality is that sometimes there's conflict. And sometimes we have to do a little kingdom rearrangement. You know, we have to find our place where we belong. And so, I don't think Jesus is as concerned about our church buildings as much as we think he is. I don't think God is really concerned about denominational titles, because there's nothing in the Bible about denominational titles. Nothing about denominational organizations. What God cares about is his people. And if we leave one church and come to another church because that's where we feel we need to be, that doesn't bring him dishonor. So it's struggling, though, when a church has a split like this church did a year ago, a couple years ago. But when you see God is still connected and God is moving, and he's brought a lot of other good folks to come and be a part of it, then we rejoice. God is at work. And he told us that if we will love one another as he's loved us, people will notice. And they will know that we are his disciples. You know, I love that. Because we're not disciples of Christ because the sign says so. That's disciples of Christ, a name. But we are disciples of Jesus Christ if we know him and serve him and we love one another as he has loved us. Well, now, Simon Peter then has a notable statement. He says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Peter had a notable statement. Lord, I will lay down my life for you. But at first, it was something that he wasn't going to live up to. But ultimately, he did. Because history tells us that Peter probably was crucified upside down because he didn't believe he was worthy to die the same way that Jesus did. What we do know for sure is that Peter became very bold in his faith after he had the encounter with the resurrected Lord who forgave him. This is why I believe that if Judas had repented, Christ would have forgave him. Peter denied him. Peter, in essence,
essence, betrayed him in a different way. But guess what? We've all betrayed him in some way. Aren't you glad for his forgiveness? His grace, that he would reach out to us just as ultimately he did with Peter and extended forgiveness. There's the good news. You know, it starts off bad news. But there's the good news. Because Jesus went to the cross, gave his life, gave his body, his blood, so that we could be forgiven. If you don't know him, today would be the day for you to come to receive him as Lord and Savior. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your great example of love. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I pray for each one here. You know what is going on in each heart. You know if there is a root of bitterness that we just need to let go of, and you know what we need. We want you to be glorified in our lives, Lord. So use us in a way that we can glorify. And if there's one who doesn't know Christ as Savior, let this be the day of surrender. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Invitation, more love to thee, O Christ. Our country, we still have freedom, and we struggling all over the world, we continue to ask your blessings on them, to lead them in comfort and give peace. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Our closing hymn is 622, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.